In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed be the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. The King of Israel. These are the words that we hear today on this wonderful interim festal weekend, if you will, before Great and Holy Week begins, actually just a couple of hours from now. Because this is the joy that people had longed for, had hoped for, knew that it was coming in some way, but they had no idea how the Lord was going to inaugurate this incredible festal time. So what did he do? What did he do? He delayed. He delayed coming to his friend Lazarus, who was sick. And he waited for 4 whole days. And he went and he stood before the tomb of Lazarus. And as a man, he was quite upset because Lazarus was a good friend of his, as were Martha and Mary of Bethany, a very good friend. And even though he had delayed for a purpose, it still struck him deeply in his human nature as he knelt before the tomb of Lazarus, and those two remarkable words in the Gospel of John, Jesus wept. He was as shattered as any of us at the death of a friend. But yet, because he was the God-man, the one person, the divine human person, he raised Lazarus from the dead. He could have done it any number of ways. He could have simply willed it to happen. But because at that point he knew what he was heading towards, he wanted to make a great demonstration to everyone. And so stood before the tomb and raised his arms and said, Lazarus, come forth. And as the gospel tells us, immediately the dead man who had been 4 days in the tomb arose and came out. This, of course, spread everywhere. This is the reason, the precondition for the entry into Jerusalem for Palm Sunday, because everyone had heard about this. They all rushed to see him. They had maybe heard different things about Jesus at different times. Some people had encountered him. Others had run into him in one place or the other, or just missed him and heard about some of the astounding things that he had done. But this was done in front of a multitude of people, and the word spread like wildfire. And so as Jesus was heading into Jerusalem, he was giving the accolades, the only accolades that he received during his lifetime by a huge host of people, to the honor that was due him, because he was indeed the Son of David. He was the King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord indicates that the people at that moment knew that when you come in the name of the Lord, you are the Lord. And so he goes into Jerusalem. But right before he did, already, because he was spending time with Lazarus, who already the clouds are starting to gather because they were seeking Lazarus to kill him, because they hated what had happened. They wanted to put Lazarus to death yet again. But Jesus, who of course always had the calm spirit that was intrinsically his, was not worried about any of this. In fact, when Mary came in and anointed him with costly ointment, Judas starts making his real first appearance as someone to watch out for, because he complains, look, we could have fed the poor with this. What are you doing? And the Lord, of course, says, you're always going to have the poor with you, but I'm not always going to be here in the flesh among you. And it was right what she did. But the gospel indicates that Judas was a thief and used to take money from that was gathered for the poor. Did he want that money for himself? We don't know. But already we see the hints of trouble to come. But enough of Judas. We're going to get to him later this week. The joyous thing now is that the Lord enters into Jerusalem, and even if it's only for a brief moment, we too are allowed to greet him in the same way. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord is uttered at the end of every single divine liturgy that the church has worldwide every year. Literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times those words are sung. And today it all coalesces into our own greeting, because now that the great period of the Holy Lent is finished, the church allows us this breather, if you will. It allows us to see what the direction of Lent was pointing to, not just to the degradation and the buffeting and the spitting and all the things that we heard in the gospel last week that the Lord said was going to happen to him. No, not just that, but a foretaste of our own resurrection by what he does to Lazarus. This whole weekend is really one great feast. In the typikon of the church, Palm Sunday is one of the 12 great feasts of the Lord. But you can't divorce it from Lazarus Saturday, because they are too tied together. And in fact, the apologetic that we sing mentions both feasts. And we hear Lazarus even today on Palm Sunday, because they are so closely connected. And they should be connected, because you can't have the entry without the raising of Lazarus. And you can't have the raising of Lazarus without the purposeful declaration of Christ as the Son of God going into Jerusalem. We enjoy it, but for a short time. We see the beautiful decorations that we have here in the church today. We see the icon of Palm Sunday next to the icon of the raising of Lazarus. We see that the colors are changed, more festive, more joyous. And yet, in a blinking of an eye, quite literally, all this will go back to purple and dark as we talk about the bridegroom for the next 3 days, as we enter into the great and holy week that is the culmination of the entire church year. But the reason that we have this day today is so that the joy and anticipation that builds up in us as we hold the palms which are a symbol of victory, that joy and anticipation lasts us through the whole week. And even though we will hear about the possibility of not having our lamps lit when the Lord returns at the great and holy day of judgment that will come upon all of us, and though we will go through the mystical supper, the institution of the Eucharist, and though we will receive holy unction midweek, and then we will follow the Lord in his passion on Holy Thursday evening, and then of course Friday we will take down his body from the cross and bring out his burial shroud, and that evening we will all with the Theotokos kneel before the funeral bier of the Lord and weep in lamentation. Yet even then, during that incredibly moving service on Holy Friday evening, we have hymns of the resurrection. We have the reading from Ezekiel of the dry bones coming together in anticipation of the resurrection. We hear one of the apologetic of the resurrection. So even then, the light is beginning to shine on all of us. So Holy Week, taken simply as the Passion, is not what the church wants us to understand. It's always got to be Holy Week in the light of the resurrection of Christ, because that's what we are all being led towards. My dear brothers and sisters, if you may feel like you have ignored the fast till now, if you have ignored the church services till now, it is still not too late. As St. John Chrysostom says in his Paschal Sermon, even those at the 11th hour can squeeze in. So you can use this week, using this incredible joy of the resurrection and the triumphal entry into Lazarus, into Jerusalem, as a springboard into Holy Week. Paying attention to yourself, like you did in the rest of the time, saying your prayers, fasting rigorously, looking forward to the resurrection, preparing for the things that come towards the end of this week. It is not too late. It is not too late ever to turn to the Lord until you've drawn your last breath. And hopefully that won't happen to anyone this week before we greet the joyous resurrection of Christ our Savior. So I wish all of you the greatest of Holy Weeks, the joy of the resurrection, the joy of the Lord's entry into Jerusalem, where those same people that are acclaiming Him today will turn on Him by the end of the week. Don't be with that crowd. That's not the bunch you want to be with. You know what's coming. They did not. So perhaps they are somewhat without or with an excuse for their activity. We are not. We know the end result. And because of that, we have to act like the Orthodox Christians that we are, when all the rest of the world today is celebrating the wrong Easter. We are moving in with Palm Sunday, because this is the true Easter, because this is the day that the church declared way back in 325 AD. So let's proclaim this boldly to everyone. So when they're all relaxing next week, we could say, sleepers awake, the real Pascha is here. And we call all of you to proclaim Christ is risen with us. May the Lord's entry into Jerusalem fill all of you with inexpressible joy and anticipation of the week to come. Amen.